Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, we're going to hear a cast talk about their rehearsal journey and how their work that they did had a direct influence on mine. But first, let's do some Theater Folk news. Okay, so since we're going to be talking about Poe and my adaptation of Poe, which is now called Shuddersome, Tales of Poe, which I feel like I have been talking about on and off for, 2 years now, but now, finally, it is time. My adaptation of a selection of Edgar Allan Poe stories and poems, Shuddersome, Tales of Poe, is going to be published. It's going into the catalog. The publishing proof is being worked on as I speak. Hooray! Finally! Hooray! After multiple workshops, two productions, killing of many, many trees, we are ready to go. And, frankly, though I sometimes felt like chucking the whole thing off the tallest building after another teacher stopped talking to me about about the play, you know what? I think it really did need this time. Taking a piece of literature from one medium and transforming it into another, it's not easy. And I think if you're doing it right, it shouldn't be easy. Because at the heart of it, the key word here is transform. You can't just take a story and dump it into a play format. Well, you can, and I have seen it done. I've seen it done a couple of times with Poe, and it just doesn't work fully, right? A fully transformation into a play, a piece of theater. That's key too, right? So I'm so thankful for St. Rock for tackling this piece in the fall, which really gave me the confidence I needed to say, yes, this is a play. And then I'm so thankful for Listowel Secondary, who had to face a lot of adversity getting their production on its feet. And they gave me the confidence with their performance to say, yes, this is a good play. This is a piece of theater. Okay, I'm going to go on, but let's get the rest of this intro out of the way so I can continue to babble. All right, so lastly, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Episode 34, Once Upon a Midnight Dreary, As I Pondered, Weak and Weary. So, the bulk of this podcast is going to be a talk that I had with Listowel Secondary School students last week. They were performing my Poe play, Shuddersome, Tales of Poe, as part of the Sears Drama Festival, and I caught them after their tech and before their performance. What really struck me about this cast is how calm they seemed and how much of a community they seemed. They knew they had worked hard together. Due to some issues, the cast worked mostly with a student director for their rehearsal period. And they just really gave the impression that they were ready to go. They were ready to perform. It was a very difficult piece, but they had put in the time, and they were confident in a positive way. And to me, that is really, it's the embodiment of ensemble. You work together and reach a final goal. You work hard on it, even if you are totally unsure of what you're working on. And as you'll hear, there were times where they did not know what they were doing was going to work, and yet they kept at it. I love that. So let's get to it. So, and what I really wanted to do was I just wanted to talk to you and hear about your experience working on Poe, because one, it's not a normal kitchen sink kind of piece, which I love. I loved working on, and I loved that you
I tackled it, and also it hasn't been a traditional kind of type rehearsal. You guys sort of had to come together and work on it yourselves and keep working on it. And I think that's fantastic. I'm so happy that this is happening, you know? So the first thing I want to know is, when you first got the script, what were some of the first impressions? What were your first impressions of working on Pope? Yes.
I honestly didn't know what to say. I was kind of like, I don't know what we're going to do with this.
Right.
I'm not surprised that it's gotten where it is now, but at this, I was just, I couldn't believe that actually...
Let me tell you, when I started working on it, I was like, because some of the stories are just, and I had to cut, the Pit and the Pendulum used to be in it, and there was a production in the fall, and I just looked at it and went, out. just because some of the stories are so much in the head, right, because they're stories, they're on the page, and they interact with the page. So the whole notion of bringing them to life is a little bit daunting. So was that kind of what some of your feelings? I see lots of nodding of heads. Yes, yes. What else? Yes, tell me.
Here comes another ensemble piece.
But is that good or is that bad?
Oh, it's a great thing.
Oh, yes. Yes, those of us who were here last night, adjudicator said, I love ensemble pieces.
Yes. You know why? Because, well, then it's, you get stuff to do. Like, if you're, there's stuff to do. And I know some of that stuff is arms up, arms down, but for me, the audience, I love that. I love seeing, I'm an ensemble freak. I sit in the audience and I watch the guy at the back who's like doing his thing. I watched you in The Mask of Red Death with your little piece of food. You know, I watched ensembles. So I love it when, and I love it when, with what a lot of what your work was doing was ensembles are working together for the good of the piece. Because that exactly is kind of what theater is, the community of it, instead of, you know, one guy standing out front with 40,000 lines and someone at the back with 10 and everybody counting, you know? What else? Yes.
Like, most of us had no clue what we were reading. We kind of had to go through and, like, translate it to, like, English language. Yeah. we had to go through and explain like what was going on when. And...
I so wanted to take out that last line. The red death isn't. I can't even say the word. Right? But I'm like, nope. I'm not changing Poe. I am theatricalizing Poe. Right? That's a different thing. So I had to stay. Sorry. Yes.
It's all really dark.
Yes. Actually, you know what's really funny? It's not. Because because the script, there's also that, there's lionizing, that short story lionizing, which is all about her nose. He actually wrote really, really funny. He just was really good at both. He knew what sold. He knew that Poe knew that the Raven would be a really good seller, and it was. So, is that half? Yes?
Yeah. As you can say, I know Poe really well, and I thought it was really true to it and how he wrote and, like, the style of it, so...
That was my intention. My intention always... I love doing adaptations. I love taking something from one form and putting it into another. And that's sort of my goal. My goal is not to change, but to interpret and to make sure that whatever is at the core of it, at the heart of it, is still there. So, which is sometimes harder to do than others. But some of it's very theatrical. I think The Telltale Heart is very theatrical. I think The Bells is very theatrical you have to dissect it a little bit, which I thought you guys did really well. So what was it like, what's it like rehearsing? What was it like, Matt, as the student director? What was that like sort of bringing this to life? And you're the key, right? In terms of like making movement out of all this.
Incredibly stressful at times.
Oh,
but from the start I knew these guys could do it, and like I had faith in what they could do, and
well, that's half your battle there.
Sometimes, I know, I wanted to run up and smack all of them, but I can't do that.
We felt the same way, don't worry.
So, yeah.
But I think it came together, and I'm happy that I have the cast that I have, and you guys are going to do good.
It's going to be a fantabulous show tonight, isn't it?
Of course
absolutely.
It is.
So I hear that some of you, first of all, I was really, really impressed with how alive the poetry, that is hard to do. It's hard to get out of... I'm going to speak in poetry voice. And I understand that you guys like watch documentaries, you like did like what kind of stuff did you do to really get the poetry into you?
We really felt the poem.
We kind of had to figure out like where his darkness like sprouted from, like the way he was adopted and like just his background, to figure out what like got him to be able to write the way he did.
Sort
of. Like what gave him the emotion he clearly had and stuff like that.
Yeah. What else?
I personally went in like went through the works that you did it off of, and I like went through them and was like, okay, this is what it's like in a whole. How are we gonna push it forward? And that was just kind of what I did when we got the script.
Yeah.
And what Chrissy said, we had to go back through and figure out what it actually means, and that probably helped a lot.
Yeah. It helps, doesn't it? It helps. Well, it helps when you know what you're talking about and where it's coming from. Yeah.
I guess knowing our own strengths was a big part. I mean, some of us are a lot lighter than others. Like in the bells, a lot, like three younger ones, like the silver bells were very lighthearted. And then like the iron bells, they were able to go to like a dark place and. Not maybe emotionally, but just in the way their voice.
I thought you were pretty dark in the oval portrait. You got, there's lots
of. Yeah, we had to get her there, though.
It took a long time.
It took some time.
Well, that's good, though. That means. That's good. Hi, yeah.
I think that with, for example, the bells, there's not really much of a storyline. It's more of just telling stuff. And I feel like we kind of brought a storyline to something that's. I don't know. I like how we dealt with that because it helped it bring it to life. And as you said, it's poetry, and now we're bringing so much to it that it helped us bring it to life.
It's all about taking something in one medium and making it theater, right? So it has to come alive. It has to. You can't just stand it. So that was a lot of my job when I'm just sort of just trying to put it on the page. I'm like, okay, so if we're looking at the bells, here are the images that I'm, you know, suggesting. And sometimes there's going to be productions where they're going to go, okay, I'm going to just use these images. And sometimes they're going to be like, you guys were like, this is what I see. And that's the cool thing for me. I love when you can take something off the page and just sort of run in a direction with it. Did you ever think that that what you were doing was not going to work, was kind of crazy?
Oh, yes.
But the nice thing about YouTube is that when we first started it, a lot of people, you have to hear. So
right.
We found a version of the Raven, a version of the bells being read, and then visual versions of the Red Death and the Oval, well, all of the stories. And we had them on Facebook. We started a little Facebook page that the cast was watching, and that's where the documentary for Poe went. So it was nice to be able to find that and actually hear the words being spoken.
Right. And speaking of which, because there was one, the Oval Portrait has no words at all. What was that like for you working on?
It was fun.
Yeah?
It was a fun thing to put together.
Go ahead.
I personally love doing those kinds of things where you're not speaking, you're just moving and...
Trying to tell a story with just you, right?
Yeah.
And your facial expressions. Whose decision was it to use a drum?
It wasn't even actually
a joke. It was a joke at first.
Yeah, well, so why did you, what was your...
to bring, like, since there's no words, to bring music to it. Just
he was
to
like,
make,
I'll just
need
a beat.
It's very interesting. It makes it very ominous, I think. And there's another interesting one, because in the production in the fall, the Oval Portrait had narration to it. And it was another one of those things where it was like, I had it with just the action, and then we went, no, maybe I need some more, maybe words, and I'm like, nope, I should have stuck with my instinct, and that's why we put it back. I quite like it. It's about in terms of theatricality, it's different forms, right? So if we have the poetry, and we have, you know, something like the Telltale Heart and the Mask of Red Death, which are, you know, character-driven, we need... see what it looks like with something else. And it works really well. I like the trying to find a way to say what's happening to the young woman, you know, without the description of, well, her life's soul is being taken away. Great. Awesome. How do I am the soul. I have a little sign that says soul, and I am taking it away. But, you know. Okay, so what's your favorite story?
Oval Portrait.
Yes.
I'd say the bells for me. I was thinking of that today. Like, I don't know, it's more of a cheerful one. It's, like, multiple, like, different kind of feels to it, I guess, because, like, it goes from, like, really happy to getting, like, dark, kind of. So, I don't know. I like the feel of it.
Happy to death, although it's a wonderful poem. Love it. Yes.
Personally, I actually do like The Mask of Red Death because it's, like, showing how ignorance can be deadly.
Yeah, I love that. Yes. Yes.
I like The Raven the most. I've heard The Raven many times before, but I never really understood it until we rehearsed it over and over. I understood it at surface, but to get really into it, it was nice to rehearse it, and I feel like our job is to kind of make the audience understand it the way we've understood it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you guys did a wonderful job with it.
I personally liked the Oval Portrait, mostly because it was one of our first pieces that we've done with no speaking.
Right.
It was all, a simple way that you step, that could mean something so much bigger than an arm movement. So it was, every movement you made that play what it was. So it was hard, and especially because we ended up having to switch characters in it.
Yeah.
So, but it worked out.
It was fun to do, though, that one was... fun to put
you
together.
You get more of a feel into because you have no choice but to really
watch.
Act it.
That's right. You have nothing to fall back on, so you have to put it out there. Otherwise, the audience is going to be like, what is she doing? She's sort of flailing her hands.
I remember the first time we did it, someone was mentioning how they didn't really understand how everything was going together in that one. They didn't know what was going on. So then when we rehearsed it again, we made sure there was bigger arm movements, more
Well, it's amazing. It really is amazing how this means nothing, but this means
something.
And that's just all it is. That's acting, right? It's communication, right? That's all it really is. It's how are you communicating? Are you communicating to the audience? I have to say, I used to be lionizing the one that's just because it's so funny, but it's not here. And actually, another one that I really wanted was one called Berenice, where a guy gets so obsessed with a woman's teeth that, as per Poe, a young woman dies, but she's not really dead. And she gets put in a grave, and he goes to her grave and then pulls out all her teeth. But she's not dead. It's just no. But I have to say, your rendition of the bells just made me go, I think that one.
Mask
of the Red Death used to be my favorite, but now I think the bells is my favorite.
The bells took us forever to figure out what, we changed it so many times as to what we were going to do.
I think at first we didn't actually know what it was about.
Yeah.
Until we actually went through and figured out, and then said this is what we need
to do. We wanted to make into a story.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's your job. You did it well. Awesome. So, absolutely, I think that you guys are going to be, you're going to be fantastic, and what you're going to do is put on a theatrical, this piece is a theatrical journey. And I think really, as a playwright, that's all I can ask, that you take what I've, sort of cobbled together and take it on a theatrical journey. So I'm really, really thankful for that. I'm so thankful this is going on and that it happened and that Sears lives and it's all good.
Go Sears.
Yes, go Sears.
So not only did these guys go on to nail their performance, it was indeed a theatrical experience, but they were also selected to move on. They were one of three outstanding performances, and so they're going on to the regional level, and I couldn't be happier. Here's the thing about how seeing work when it's not, when it's still in its development stages really influences what I do. So based on this production, I removed a character, changed the title, and came up with a sort of new thematic introduction. Which sort of seems like a lot, but I know it's not really, because it's still, the core of everything is still in place. When I saw the play in October, I took out a whole story, and I changed one of the stories to take out the narration. This is necessary. This is how I learn as a playwright. For example, the title Shuddersome is actually the play's original title, one that I started out way at the beginning of the process. Then I sort of doubted myself a little bit. I thought I needed the title of one of the stories in the play's title, and then realized that if a school was going to produce it and they were looking to make a competition length cut, what if they wanted to cut the story that was in the title? And I came full circle, and here we are. Shuddersome Tales of Poe. That's how it works. You sort of have to keep going in circles, keep thinking about what my intention is, what I want. And it's about a balance, too. It's about finding a balance between staying true to the work, but also being open enough to make the work the best that it can be. And that's how the writing process goes. This is why theater does not live on the page. It lives in the mouths and the actions of actors breathing life into the characters. And sometimes it takes more than one production of a play to see it come to life, to solidify the text. And you learn something new with every interpretation, with every approach. And sometimes what you see with a play, it's like, oh, you know, you have to sort of determine whether it's the script or whether it's the interpretation. But that's part of the job. And that's why there's no such thing as a perfect first draft. I don't think so anyway. And now I can literally and metaphorically close the book on Shuddersome Tales of Poe and move on to the next piece, the next experience, the next production. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.